Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, January 21st, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Glad to have you with us. Also with me, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
You were mistaken, for it is the great Misterioso come to save the day.
The cape should have tipped me off. I apologize for not having clocked that great Misterioso.
I am ready. I'm ready to play. Well, this is the D&D podcast, right?
Yes, it is. It's all D&D today. We started with Paladins yesterday and got Brian all excited. So now he has sent the great Misterioso in his place.
Here, we'll do some ASMR for you. Or AMSR, which is it?
I don't know. The videos all right. of noise. That's what all it is. That's all I know.
Videos of noise. There we go.
All right. So, Andrew, actually, I want to start with you and a chaotic evil thing that we discovered this morning, which is that Apple was going to offer end-to-end encryption for your backed up iCloud data, but they don't. And there's a very interesting reason why, and I'm going to remind both of you that I really don't want to have to edit. So please, when you talk about this, keep that in mind.
Yeah, so basically, Reuters spoke to six sources, some from the FBI, some from Apple. Mm-hmm. And they found out that Apple in the past did have plans to encrypt iCloud backups with end-to-end encryption, which means that unlike how it is now, they wouldn't be able to access your data. But 2 years ago, they canceled that plan because the FBI complained and said it would harm their investigations.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a pretty fine line Apple is walking.
Shenanigans. That's what I have to say.
Yes. And I would actually have to call this lawful evil, not chaotic evil.
Yeah, I guess it would be. Yeah.
Yep.
Lawful evil. You are correct.
The great Misterioso has spoken.
And he didn't start his sentence with actually, so now I don't have to kill him, which is great.
I thought about it.
I thought he would.
There's a limit to how many of your buttons I'm willing to push at one time.
No, just the one. That would have been fine. Because then I could roll for initiative and we'd have just found out what happened. We weren't kidding, listeners. It's really the D&D show today. I feel fully shenaniganed on this, mostly because iMessage is end-to-end encrypted. And so I guess I don't, like, I could see if Apple had said that they couldn't do end-to-end encryption for that much data on that kind of scale for as many users as they have and on and on and on. Like, I could see Apple coming out and saying that, and mm-hmm. I maybe wouldn't buy it, but at least it would be a thing that could be possible. But, like, the FBI throwing a fit and, you know, flinging themselves down in the aisle at the supermarket to get their way, like, doesn't feel like the reason Apple would do this. So that's part of why I find this frustrating and disappointing, frankly. I'm not mad. Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed.
Well, it seems like it runs counter to the message of the importance of privacy, the importance of encryption, not mm-hmm. to keep us safe from lawful law enforcement, mm-hmm. but to keep us safe from the bad guys. And this seems to run contrary to Apple's public messaging and public statements, mm-hmm. and quite frankly, Apple's other policies.
Well, and we've seen them go up against the FBI on some of this stuff. Is like, was this the concession? Like, we're going to do this, but not anything else? And I mean, I'm speculating, and to use Chaffin's razor, you know, we don't have all the information, but this seems like the sort of thing that, like, fine, if we don't encrypt it, will you leave us alone? And clearly they didn't hold up their end of the bargain if that was the case. But I wonder if that was a certain amount of it. Like, we will make this concession so that we don't have to make more of them later. Sounds like a trade-off a company would make. Do I want them to do it that way? No. But does it seem like a realistic thing that might have been, like, part of some sort of deal? Yeah, it kind of does. Do I want it to be that way? Absolutely not. But does it seem like that could be a possibility? Yes.
Well, I think there's also the argument that maybe Apple didn't do this because if iCloud backups were fully encrypted, then customers who, you know, lose access to their account would, like, they wouldn't be able to get their data back at all.
Same with you die and your loved ones being able to get your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they could have a middle ground and just make it optional, like a setting.
Like File Vault. Gets there if you want to use it, and you feel free to exercise the option. But if you don't want to use it, you don't have to. You're under no obligation. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And then Apple can give a big, huge warning. Hey, we can't help you if you do this, but at least there's still an option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that feels like a little more Apple-y of a decision. I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
I don't know. Okay. First of all, there's no deal that Apple can make here.
No.
Right? They can't make a deal with the FBI. First of all, the FBI doesn't write laws. But of course, the FBI can pursue legislation. It can advocate for legislation. It can, you know, get the rest of the DOJ to be behind legislation and mm-hmm. push for things that way. But Apple cannot make a deal with the FBI. And there's another reason for that, too, is because any deal that Apple made at some point, there were, you know, there's always going to be more. I really think that there is a line in the sand that has to be drawn when it comes to the importance of encryption and the importance of privacy. Again, not to protect us from the good guys, but to protect us from the bad guys. Mm-hmm. So that bothers me. The inconsistency bothers me, but at the same time, I am aware of the trade-offs, you know, again, to it, like, you die and your survivors need to be able to get into your digital stuff. That is a significant trade-off for people to whom that happens.
Yes, absolutely.
So I don't know. It's certainly not simple. I would certainly like to know more. I would love for Apple to, has Apple made a statement on this, Andrew?
Not that I know of.
I would love to have Apple actually explain this mm-hmm. or deny it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I look forward to your follow-up on that, Andrew. Mm-hmm. To me, I think, Brian, the thing that rankles the most is that it was a thing they were pursuing and gave up. And why they gave that up, if this is why. Because like you said, that goes against everything that they've come out and publicly stated. You know, you can't have the CEO going around telling everybody that privacy is a human right and then have something like this come out that, you know, that if this is, you know, and they talk to a number of people on both sides of it that make it sound like this is probably legitimate. And if this is what happened, is the FBI had a cow and then Apple decided not to do it, that seems contrary to everything that Apple has been telling us. And makes me feel a little bit silly for having come out and talked about how I really like that Apple's doing this and that privacy is part of everything. And when they roll stuff out, they talk about, like, here's what data we get from you and here's what we do with it. And I wonder how much of that is actually legit now.
Oh, like, I don't have any reason to doubt Apple and the other stuff. I mean, Apple has never said that backups were encrypted right. And right. And Apple still does give us end-to-end encryption on our FaceTime calls, on our iMessages, and on a lot of other data that is going through Apple services. And that's those true. Things remain important. And those things remain, in my never or at least seldom humble opinion, good.
That's true.
It's just, this is just one thing that that it seems like Apple could be doing better and mm-hmm. be doing differently to remain consistent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we probably will talk about, like, the sort of contingency plans you should have if something were to happen to you on another show, because that is an important thing. Like, you know, it's not just you know, it's not just getting into your phone that gets affected if like something were to happen to you. So we will probably talk about having plans for that in the future. What I would like to talk to you about right now, however, is our sponsor this week. And our sponsor this week is Lightstream. And they will allow you to refinance your credit card balance and save with a credit card consolidation loan. You can get a rate from them as low as 5.95% with autopay, which is a lot lower than the average interest rate on a credit card of over 20%. You can get that loan from $5,000 up to $100,000. There are no application fees, origination fees, transaction fees, and no prepayment penalty. You can apply for the loan right on your phone. You might even get your money the same day you apply. And just for my listeners, if you apply right now, you can get an additional interest rate discount. But the way you get it is to go to lightstream.com/TDO. You can go to lightstream.com/TDO for an additional discount. lightstream.com/TDO. As always, I have to tell you, subject to credit approval, the rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply. Offers are subject to change without notice, but you can find out more at lightstream.com/TDO. And we'd like to thank Lightstream for sponsoring the show today. Now, the other thing we have to talk about today is more in lawful evil news. What data Apple has to give the FBI if the FBI comes calling and wants into your stuff? And Andrew, this was another one that you wrote up for us today.
Yeah, so basically, it would be quicker to say all the data that is actually end-to-end encrypted.
Okay.
Because everything else, if it's an iCloud, it can be shared by okay. Apple. So data that is end-to-end encrypted is home data, health data, iCloud keychain, payment information, vocabulary. When you're using Apple's keyboard, it can learn, words you use the most. That is actually end-to-end encrypted. Screen time data, some Siri data, and then Wi-Fi passwords.
Okay.
Now, data that they can share is basically everything else. So they can give law enforcement subscriber information, which includes your name, physical address, email address, phone number, some IP connection logs, email logs, everything on iCloud, like iCloud photos, Drive, contacts, calendars, et cetera, et cetera. Find my iPhone. That data seems to be kind of limited from what I gathered, so I'm assuming it's only metadata. Okay. Because they do say that device location data is stored locally on the device, and Apple can't retrieve it. And Find My iPhone also can't be turned on remotely. So the FBI asks Apple to do that, they can't.
Okay.
And then sign-in logs with IP addresses. Mm-hmm. And although FaceTime and iMessage are end-to-end encrypted, they can share, again, some metadata, like what time you contacted a person, how often, like, they get all that stuff.
Okay. So they can see that I sent you a text, but they can't see what it says.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And contacts, which is an interesting piece of information. I don't know why I always assumed that was relatively more secret than it is, I guess. Maybe I just assumed it was encrypted because, like, you need contacts to send messages, so that would be encrypted too. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's where it came from.
And then something else that made me raise my eyebrows is they can also share Safari browsing history.
Fantastic.
Yep. Now, it's not published yet. I'm going to work on it after the show. But for people who are like shocked and a little bit nervous now, I do have a guide to some secure and private apps that are alternative to Apple's apps. So I think people will like that.
Yeah, definitely. That seems like, I don't know. I'm surprised at the information that's still available. Brian, how about you? The stuff that the FBI can get their hands on.
I mean, keep in mind that this information would be subject to lawful warrants.
Yes.
Yeah.
To the best of our knowledge, and I think that that's probably very accurate knowledge, Apple has always required a lawful warrant.
Yes.
So I don't have a problem with any of that particular data being shared with law enforcement with the delivery of a lawful warrant. And it's the other stuff, I think, that Apple does protect through end-to-end encryption. That stuff, I believe, is more important to make sure we're keeping out of the hands of the bad guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? That's my take. I don't think I could be wrong. I could so be wrong, but I don't think that a Russian hacking gang or the Chinese military is going to be able to do a whole lot with my Safari history. Could be wrong. Yeah. I could be wrong, but I certainly want to keep my iMessages out of their hands.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I think it's not so much that I have a problem with it. It's just that I was surprised that that was stuff that was available to them. That was really what it was. The amount of stuff that they could get. So, yeah. finding out how much time Brian spends playing Kingdom Rush is going to be really important to Russia, right?
How many hours in a day?
Because it's that number.
Multiply by the number of days since it was released.
And it's that long.
Yeah.
So, well, now that you've told them, you've just saved foreign governments a whole lot of time. So,
yeah, exactly.
There you go. That's much better. I thought this was interesting, and like we do, you know, like you said, Brian, the thing that we do have to point out is that as far as we know, Apple's not doing this without some paperwork to back it up. So it's not like the FBI just kind of goes, "Yeah, Andrew looks sketchy. We need everything you got on him." And Apple's like, cool, whatevs. You know, here you go.
And I mean, so also keep in mind is that, again, as far as I know, this also prevents mass surveillance.
Yeah.
Because this data is still encrypted on their servers. It's just that the decryption keys are also stored. And Apple has a very strict process about in which cases they can access that information. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's still pretty limited.
Yeah. That is how it sounds. At least it seems like from here anyway.
I mean, like basically they would need to have certain information, like maybe your password or something else, device identification, mm-hmm. in order to start that process to share it.
Yeah. So that's good. It's not just sort of there for the taking, which is good news.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear that. I'm looking forward to reading your guide, Andrew, on the alternate apps that you can use. I would say remember that if you are using iCloud Mail, if you're using your iCloud address for something, all of that lives on servers. And I think that was something the FBI can have, right, Andrew?
Yes.
Your mail data?
In the mail log section, that includes records of incoming and outgoing communications, sender email addresses, recipient email addresses, time, date, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. So a good portion of what you do with your email. So maybe you move to a different application to use for your email, but if you're still using an iCloud email address, that's something they can have. And I would assume a Gmail address is similar in that regard. Because they're able to use your inbox to put ads on the side of your Gmail. So I assume since Gmail can read your inbox, that's a thing that they could also handle law enforcement. I don't know that for certain, but it doesn't seem like a great leap of logic. So if what you're really concerned about is the contents of your inbox, you need to start looking at some different, a different mail provider than the one you have if you're using iCloud or Gmail for it. That would be a thing I would suggest. So there's your pro security tip for today. Wow. So that's a lot of stuff to think about. Do check out these two articles about encrypted backups, and particularly the one about what Apple can give the FBI if the FBI comes calling. Because not because I necessarily think anybody here is going to be in this position, but it's a good thing to know. This falls pretty firmly under, you know, privacy is a human right, so you should know if Apple has your data, what they're doing with it. So just a thing.
You should know that about every company. And
what?
Apple, you should know that about every company.
Yes.
Apple is one of the few companies that actually makes this possible to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say most people listening to the show probably have most of it with Apple as well. So I would say that's another good reason to check with Apple, because that's probably more than half of, I would say, most TDO listeners' data is probably with Apple in some form or another. So definitely check it out and get educated. If you have feedback on this, or if you have some tips, or maybe an app you want to recommend to Andrew, you can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. I want to thank both of you for being here today. Andrew, thanks so much for coming by to talk to us about Apple and the FBI.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And the great Mysterioso, I very much appreciate that you and your cape took the time to record with me today.
The great Mysterioso is at your service.
I really like the great Mysterioso. I hope he comes back for another show.
I do not. I hate the great Mysterioso. But you know, whatevs.
You got to dance with the one what brung you, Brian.
That's true.
So here we are. It's a good thing it's not a video podcast, because watching that, I don't know. Anyway, so thank you both for being here today. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.